This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up, what's up, what's going on, everybody out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, LP. Appreciate you checking in with me, posting up for a good half an hour or so. You know we hyped up that the Bengals made it back to the AFC Championship game. So, you know we're going to get into that. I guess you can call it a breakdown of what I think is going to happen, but with a little LP flair, I guess. We also going to get into a topic I talked about before, but I'm going to add one more point to it about what your duty is as a fan of any fan base. And we're going to talk about a show not to watch. So normally I give you shows to watch. I'm going to switch it up this time and give you a show not to watch. Like, I'm watching this for you so you don't have to. You feel me? Like, I'm doing the dirty work for you on this one. I got you covered. But, yeah, man, the Bengals made it look easy against the Bills. I mean, I can never say you made an NFL game look easy. I mean, it's way too physical for that. But the way they came out and beat the Bills 27-10, I'm telling y'all, two things. If the Bengals do these two things, they will win the Super Bowl. Number one, if they start off hot, they start off strong. I don't know if y'all noticed, but the Bengals always get the ball first. I think there's maybe like two games where they didn't get the ball first. What the Bengals like to do is they like to accept the ball if they win the coin toss. And if they don't get the coin toss, the other team almost always defers to the second half. So either way, the Bengals get the ball first. They love doing this because what they want to do is score first and put the pressure on the other team. The Bengals defense is suited to hold a lead because of the way they play. They like to play a little zone. They like to kind of pop you with the blitz when you're not expecting it. It's tough to do that when you're down. It's super easy to do that when you're up. So, if the Bengals can get off to fast starts, not even necessarily 14-0 like they did against the Bills, which is amazing. If they can just get a long drive for a field goal, that's perfect. It makes it easier for the defense to operate. So, that's the one. The second thing, if they feed Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon does what he did against the Panthers, where he hit like 4 or 5 touchdowns, and what he did against the Bills on Sunday, steady presence, ripping off 4 or 4.5 yards of pop, rushing for 105 yards, getting the touchdown. I keep telling folks, Joe Mixon is the key to this offense. He really is. Because if you can run the ball, you can pretty much do anything in the passing game. I mean, think about it. You need 10 yards for a first down, right? You normally get 3 yards. You usually get 3 downs to do it, and you got to punt on 4th down. If on first down, you're consistently getting 5, 6 yards, you only need 4 or 5 yards for the first down. And it's super easy to go, like, look, I'm going to go ahead and go up top and go deep on 2nd down for the touchdown if we don't get it. It's only 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. We got this. That's what a great running game does for you. Now, Mixon being MIA, I don't really blame it on Joe Mixon for real, because sometimes the Bengals get a little too pass happy. They do a little too much in the passing game. It unnerves me, man. Like, run the ball. It's easier for the blockers to block a run because they're just running out and mashing people, as opposed to a pass where they're fading back and trying to block. Offensive linemen love to run block. They love pancaking people. That's their thing. Let Mix cook, man. Let Mix cook. Start out strong. The Bengals can beat anybody in the league. I truly believe that, if they're cooking like that. What was crazy about the game is, the game that we saw on Sunday, is the fact that they made it look so easy. I didn't know the Bills had this many deficiencies. I really didn't. You know, the Bengals didn't get to finish the game against the Bills because of the unfortunate situation that happened with DeMar Hamlin. It's excellent that he was at the game, man. Quick side note, the fact that he was up there, were able to throw the heart and root his team on, I thought that was dope as hell, man. That was really cool to see. Of course, we wanted y'all to lose. Like, we wanted the Bills to take the L. But just to see DeMar Hamlin up in the press box, up in a little suite doing his thing, that was real cool. You could barely see him. It was snowing so hard. They kept cutting to him in the box. We could barely see him. We had to, like, look at the outline. I mean, it's snowing. You can't get, like, a camera inside the box? Come on, man. Be for real. It's 2023. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. They made it look easy against the Bills, man. It was crazy. I didn't know the Bills had so many problems with their secondary. I didn't know they had offensive line and defensive line issues. I was like, this don't look like the Bills team that we've been seeing for the whole year. And their running game was like non-existent, man. I thought Singletary and Cook was going to get it in. Especially since our offensive line was like missing three starters. And normally in the beginning of the game, you can run on the Bengals defense. It gets really tough in the second half. But the first half is usually when you can make your money. And the Bills wasn't doing that. It wasn't really a lot of running from the Bills either. I don't know. It was just, I'm like, wow. I expected certain parts of the Bills team to be better than what they were. And I feel like Bills fans expected the same thing. I talked to a lot of Bills fans and they're like, we knew we had issues in certain parts of our team, but it was more like Allen could make it happen. Kind of like the way Burrow did, despite the stuff he was going through last year with the offensive line. You know, Bills fans pretty much felt like Allen could make it happen, even though there was deficiencies in the team. And I get that. It was just wild seeing them struggle the way that they did. Shout out to the Bengals defense. Probably the most underrated unit in football, man, for real. And I was telling people last year, I thought Anarumo was overrated. I really did, because I'm like, dude barely blitzes. He just hangs back. Let everybody do what they want to do. And then they give up a field goal. Then he starts scoring touchdowns at the end of the game because they're tired. I thought that was Lou Anarumo's M.O. And he really showed me something last year because of the schemes that he was pulling off against Patrick Mahomes and the stuff they did against the Ravens. I was like, man, this guy's really good. He knows how to call a game. Super underrated unit, man. I just don't know why they don't get the props. I guess because they don't have like a super duper star on the defensive side of the ball. So it's more like they play as a unit. And it's tough to get props as a unit when you can't say something like so-and-so and the team. Because that's how the NFL likes to lead things. But either way, it's AFC Championship game time once again. And once again, it's against the Chiefs. If you're a diehard listener to the pod, definitely appreciate you. Then you know how LP's neighborhood is set up. You know, told y'all this before. Got the big cul-de-sac, and everybody in the cul-de-sac is a big Bengals fan. I mean, people got the flags hanging up. They got the paint on the doors. all of that. Like, you know, the little curb art on the sidewalk, say who they. Real Big Bengals neighborhood. Except for my next door neighbor, who is an avid Chiefs fan. And like I was telling people, he's not the Chiefs fan. Was like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is here. This is my team. This is my team. You know, just hopped on the bandwagon a few years ago. My man has been a diehard Chiefs fan since the days of, I'm about to throw some crazy names at y'all, like Steve DeBerg, when Joe Montana was playing for the Chiefs back in the day, Christian Okoye. Like, he been a fan since then. This was like early 90s. I mean, with the cherry red helmets and all that. He been a fan since forever. So he kind of look at us and give us a little side eye because, you know, he rock his Mahomes jersey every Sunday. He's not playing games. He's like, I won't say he's anti-Bengals. I found this on the web. Okay. What you talking about, Siri? You crazy. I won't say he's anti-Bengals. He's more like pro-Chiefs over everything. You feel me? And I was talking to him and he was like, this is just a game where the Chiefs style and the Bengals style, it doesn't mesh for the Chiefs. That was his thing. He's like, the way the Bengals play defense, it really bothers Mahomes because, you know, Mahomes really doesn't like the dink and dunk as much. You know, he'll take the checkdowns or whatever, but he's more like he want to get those chunk plays. And the Bengals, they don't really give up chunk plays. They're more like, you got to drive the ball on us. You got to get 15, 20, 25 yards the hard way. That's how the Bengals D is set up. And this frustrates the Chiefs a lot. This is what my mans was saying. He's like, that's the reason why they're losing. Mahomes really has to be like, you know what? I'm going to take this 5-6 yard pass here. I'm going to take this 5-6 yard pass here and let them add up. That's what Burrow's really good at. People sleep on that. We beefing this week. Not beefing, you know, he put me onto a snowblower, a real good snowblower. I finally got a snowblower, y'all. Just a quick side note. Finally got the snowblower. Man, I've been procrastinating for about 4-5 years. And then I see my homie outside the other day, he putting this snowblower away because we had some freak winter storm or whatever. And, you know, we beefing or whatever. But he was like, hey, LP. I want to tell you about this electric snowblower I got. And I'm like, man, that's nice. He was like, they selling them up in Menards for the low. Dashed up there and got one. I was like, I appreciate you. Finally got the snowblower. My other next door neighbor, he is the man for real. When it snows hard, he knocks out everybody's driveway. Real talk. He gets his snowblower, knocks out his driveway, knocks out my driveway, knocks out my next door neighbor on the other side driveway. I'm like, dude, we got to get you some help, man. I be mad when I come out like, why did you do that? Not because I don't want him to, because I'm wanting to stress himself out. Like, I appreciate the help, but I'm like, my man, I don't want you all tired out here. So trying to get this snowblower so I can start helping him out. Knocking out some driveways, too. But I digress. I figured I'd put that out there because I'm super hype. That's how you know you old, man. Like, I'm hype about a snowblower, man. My birthday next week, I'm turning 44. I'm hype about a snowblower. LP is washed. Hold on, let me marinate in this for a second. I know I'm talking about the Bengals for a little bit longer, but dang, I'm washed up. Dang, my podcast just informed me that I was washed up. I'm washed. And maybe my kids already knew this. Like, maybe certain people around me already knew that I was washed. But dang. I guess this is the part where I kick in the, like, you know, middle age crisis and I get like a moped or something like that. Like, is that a thing still? People turn 44, 45 and then they get a Harley so they can be young again. Maybe I'll do that. I ain't driving no motorcycle, man. That's crazy. But anyway, see, I got me off subject, man. I got me off track. So anyway, I feel like this is going to be a really good game. I wouldn't be surprised if we see overtime. I got Bengals 33, Chiefs 30. Evan McPherson kicks the field goal, sends us to the Super Bowl. And we got to win this one. By the way, just real fast. I'm hearing a lot of people going like, man, Mahomes might not play. He might not play, man. This, look, number one, last year Mike White beat the Bengals. You feel me? Scored 11 points in the last 6 minutes of the game, beat the Bengals. We almost took the L to Tyler Huntley, man. This year we lost to Cooper Rush. Even if he don't play, even if Mahomes doesn't play, let's not act like this is a walk in the park, man, for real. The Bengals have a history of just letting backup QBs do them filthy since I was a kid. I remember Brett Favre came in the game. He was like second, third string. Nobody heard of this guy. This man made his name against us that day, y'all. Like, he came through. Like, this guy, Brett Favre, yeah, he's going to make his first start, man. He came through and lit us up like a Christmas tree, man. It was depressing. People make names against the Bengals, man. That's how I was back in the day. Things are different now, but let's not discredit anybody in this piece. Pretty much anybody can ball. If you made it this far in your career, you can ball. That's number one. Number two. Yo, Mahomes is playing. Like, if Mahomes has to go to a fan and borrow an ankle and just give it back when he finished playing with it, he'll do that. If Mahomes has to crawl out there and throw from his knees, he'll do it. Man, if Mahomes has to just roll on the ground instead of run, he'll do that. He's not missing this game. He's not. If this is a regular season game, then maybe. But, yeah, he playing. So, Bengals fans, Who Dey fans, Rue the Jungle fans, let's not even get all excited about that. What we need to be looking at is how mobile he is. Because a lot of their game, the Chiefs, is based on them being, based on Mahomes being mobile and just doing ignorant stuff like running around, doing backflips, avoiding everybody and throwing like a 50-yard touchdown pass. That's what we need to be watching, all right? So let's see how mobile he is, how much he can move around from left to right, how he plants on that leg when he throws. But as far as him playing in his backup plan, yeah, right. He playing. But I got the Bengals winning 33-30. Fans been wilding out about whose team is better, and then it turned into insults and yada, yada, yada. I talked about this last week. I dropped an episode, if you want to kind of look back, where I gave what your role should be as a fan. And I never added one part to it. So this is the one part I'm going to add. Your role as a fan. And this is big. This is kind of like one of the main things. Understand, Mr./Miss Fan, that as much as you want it to be, it's not all about you. I know we like to go like, yeah, our team, yeah, and we're going to win. And I get that. And there's really nothing wrong with doing that. A lot of people will be like, well, what you mean we? You play for the team? Sometimes you root for a team so long that it literally feels like we. You know it's not like that, but you kind of feel like that. And if you're rooting for your college team, it's we. When I say Ohio State, I say we because that's my school. That's the school I graduated from. That's the school I met my wife at. That's the school where I had my first kid. Like, that's the school where my stepkid graduated from. Like, that's my school. So when I say we, when I talk about my college, or when anybody does that, they have an attachment to that place because that's where they spent a lot of time. That's where they learn how to be like a grown-up. You got to give them that. When we're talking about professional sports, I won't say it's the same thing because it's not, but you kind of get that attachment to the point where it really feels like that. However, you got to understand that as much as you want these people to be out here for your amusement or your entertainment, they got lives too. We're watching these men and women do a job, and it's entertaining to us, but I feel like a lot of fans have a complex in the same way that kids in my class or kids in my school have a complex about me. Man, when I tell y'all, kids freak out when they see me out and about enjoying my day or grocery shopping or something like that. Man, it's wild. Like, these kids really think that LP just sleeps at the school. Like, they go home, I stay at the school, eat, shower, sleep or whatever, and then I wake up and I'm at school because I'm already at school because I live at the school. I've had a couple kids literally tell me that, "Mr. Parker, I didn't think you was a person." Say what? What am I, a robot? And I get what they're saying. They're like, they can't see me outside of what I do for a living. And that's cool. I don't want them all up in my mix like that. But I would like for them to understand that, you know what? I got kids. I like video games. Like, I like to work out a little bit. I like to read, you know. I do some of the same stuff that you do. A little bit, seventh grader. Not a lot, because you were seventh grader. I feel like a lot of fans feel that same way about players, because it's like they can't understand how a player for the Steelers can give props to a player from the Bengals, or they can't understand how they could put out support for somebody that plays on another team. Dude, a lot of these players play together. It's not like they just met in the pros and was like, "Hey, yay, we're teammates." It's not like that. A lot of these guys play together in college. A lot of these guys play together in high school. Some of these players have been knowing each other literally since they were like 6 or 7 years old. And now they happen to play on different pro teams, because guess what? You can't pick your pro team. You can pick your high school team. You can pick your college team. You can't pick your pro team. Not normally, unless you're like under unrestricted free agent or something like that. But for the most part, you can't pick your team. The NFL does that for you. So it's only natural that players from different teams actually like each other. I mean, hell, some of them family, some of them cousins and brothers and stuff like that. And as fans, we got to get out of this whole, "My team is better than your team, so I get to cuss at you, and my players hate your players." No, they don't. They really don't. There's probably like some players that other players just really hate. That's kind of like at your job, where you got a job and you like 95% of the people, but you really don't mess with 5% of them because they get on your nerves, they get under your skin. That's sports. Sports is a job to these men and women. And we really got to understand that they don't take it as seriously as we do. They want to win. They want to get their money. They want trophies and championships and stuff like that. But man, when the game over, people are like, "Man, how could you talk to that? How could you talk to that Browns player? I don't talk to Browns fans." Well, that's on you. It really is, because after the game, I know we want to think that they just get on the phone and hate each other and stuff like that. But after the game, it's like, "Hey, man, where you going to eat at? Oh, for real? Show me your cities. Show me what's up." That's how it is for the most part. Now, before the game and stuff like that, you know, they don't really like each other. It's a whole competitive thing. But fans, calm y'all nerves. Calm down. It is not about you. It's not about you flexing about, "Oh, my team is the best. F you." Calm down. It is never that serious. Man, I've seen people in real life tears after their team lose. You didn't play. What you crying for? Like, what is this about? "I can't believe my team lost." Dude, you sitting there on your couch, healthy in the mug right now, eating chips and drinking beer and all of that. The people that bled and broke ankles and kneecaps, let them cry about it, all right? You are well within your rights to feel upset. Like, me when the Bengals lose, real talk, I got like a 5-10 minute grace period where I don't want nobody saying nothing to me. I really don't. I'm not acting like I'm holier than now. I go like, doo, doo, doo. Nah, man, it's not like that. I got like a 5-10 minute period where I just stare at the TV if they lose. I don't even want to talk. I'm like, dang. I'm salty. I just kind of wasted 3-4 hours. Not really wasted, but I'm just salty because I didn't get the result that I wanted. I talked irrationally for like 5 or 10 minutes to say stuff like that. But after that, man, I'm like, what's on TV? Y'all hungry? Y'all need me to go get something to eat? Y'all who cooking? That's what it is, because it's a game. It's just a game. It's okay. Sometimes I'll act madder than what I am just to make people laugh. Like, I'll go to school the next day and the kids will be like, Mr. Parker, the Bengals lost. You mad? And I'll just kind of like fake it. Like, I can't believe it. And they'll go like, it ain't that serious. I'm like, I know. Then I just kind of move on. Understand that the game is not, I won't say it's not totally about the fan, because the fan experience is something that drives the players, and I get that. But don't make it all about you, Mr./Miss Fan, because it's not all about you. There's more to it than just you. That's what I'm saying. All right. So before I wrap this up, got some great stuff cooking up. I won't call it a Black History thing, because it's going to start in February and just kind of go all year, where we're going to discuss movies that helps you understand the Black experience that you might not have seen before. That's the caveat. You might not have seen it before. So we're not doing Do the Right Thing. We're not doing Malcolm X. We're not doing Roots and stuff like that. We're going to pick the more obscure movies that help you understand the Black experience. That's what we're going with. We're going to start it in February. But instead of ending in February, we're just going to kind of go all year. All right? One or two of those a month. All right? We're also going to do some stuff talking about hip-hop turning 50 years old. Got a lot to talk about on that, because honestly, I didn't really think that I'd be sitting here talking about how big hip hop is when I was 13, 12 years old. You couldn't have told me that. So we're going to kind of get into that. All right. So that's some stuff we got kind of got coming up for the next few weeks that'll go all year long. Kind of like a recurring thing. But before we head out, I'm going to give you something to not watch. Again, let me be clear. Do not watch this. Unless you're somebody like me that sometimes enjoys really, really bad TV shows. My wife says it's like one of my worst flaws. Like, one of the things that she looks at me and goes like, are you okay? I like to watch train wrecks. I do. I can't help it. And I know it's bad. I know it's not good TV, but I'm just sitting there watching and laughing because it's hilarious to me. Y'all, I saw a show called MILF Manor on TLC. Now, oh my soul, I thought TLC meant the Learning Channel. They've strayed away from the vision ridiculously, y'all. I'm saying, now I can't hate, because 90 Day Fiance is something I do enjoy watching, because like I said, bad TV is hilarious to me. I won't call 90 Day Fiance bad. It's more like you look at them and go like, what are you thinking? That's not bad TV. That's more like interesting TV, because I'm like, what are you thinking? This here is bad TV. I'll set up the premise for you. It's called MILF Manor. So you heard the MILF part, right? You basically have middle-aged women. The oldest one I saw was, I think, 58. And the youngest one was, I think, 42. So we're in the 40 to 60-year-old range. These women are going to this house looking for love, right? That's what they're looking for. Now, they stated on their little preview part, you know, where they get to know you, like, I'm Kendra, I'm from blah, 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 I love all of that. They stated that they love younger men. This, for me, is not the problem. I thought the show did a good job of talking about how older men and younger women isn't seen as taboo. But older women and young men is seen like, ugh, what are they doing? I thought they did a great job putting that out there. Because it's a double standard that's kind of ridiculous. You know what I mean? If older men can find love with younger women, then older women should be able to find love with younger men. Me personally, I think it's a little creepy. But that's just my personal preference. Me, I wouldn't really go after 26, 27-year-old women. That's not my thing. However, some women like younger men. It's a personal preference thing, people. This wasn't the problem for me. This is not what made this not watch TV, all right? I want to be clear. That's cool. You do you. However, they had the eight women lined up, and then they opened up the little curtain or whatever to show the eight men. Y'all. Their sons were on the other side. I was like, what the hell is happening? What is happening here? Real talk. So you got somebody there. You got like an older woman. Her son is on the other side. So they're looking for love. There's eight women and there's eight men. But really, there's only seven men because one is off limits because that's your kid. Who thinks it is? That's wow. I'll give you some of the things that the men said, that the son said. These are actual quotes. Ahem. Quote, it's going to be really weird hanging out with the guys and then going out with their moms. That's what they said. My thoughts exactly. I'm not calling you dad. That's what the one guy says. The other guy says, no, you're calling me daddy. And then the other guy's mom says, no, I'm calling you daddy. Whew. I cannot imagine the PTSD that these young men are going to face, that these women are going to face, watching their sons and watching their moms just relentlessly hook up all over the house with other people. Like, real talk, what happens if you're the son and you watch your mama get played by somebody else in the house? You gonna be cool with that? That's cool with you? You're just gonna be like, oh, well, we're all looking for love. What if you're a mom and you see another mom there that you just hate and she knows you hate her? So she's like, you know what? I'm about to get with your son. Cool with that, ladies? That's cool with you? I mean, the premise, I won't call the premise interesting. The premise is more like, who would do this? I personally don't know how they pulled it off to make it a surprise. Like, I just don't see that being real. I mean, yeah, mom, I'm going away to Mexico for a few weeks. Oh, yeah, me too. Nobody talked about where they was going at all. Nobody had a discussion. Oh, we're going to the same country. Maybe we're going to the same city. That discussion never happened, huh? It's just one big surprise. Oh, wow, we're all here together. Didn't see that coming. Sure. I mean, none of them said they were like a stranger or anything like that. It's one of those shows where if you're watching, you're watching to either see a fight or you're watching because you know it's about to get super messy and you just want to see how messy. I'm in that second part. I want to see how messy this gets. I don't think this show is going to last the whole season. I think at some point there's going to be a big fight because somebody's mom got felt up by a son in the house and the other son's just not happy about it. It's time to play the feud. It's time to fight. That's just how I see it going. It would be me. I'm just saying. On the Cincy Fan Talking headphones meter, This has half a headphone. Half a headphone. And the only reason it has no headphones is because of the simple fact that there may be a good moment or two in here. It's hard not to have at least one good moment in the show this bad. It has to be a good moment in here somewhere. This is half a headphone. Now, you know, this is out of 5 headphones. This is half a headphone. Again, I'm watching this so you don't have to. If you watch this show and you go like, man, who told me about this? Why did they tell me to watch this? Stop yourself. Rewind this. Half a headphone. This is not good television. I'm watching this so you don't have to. And I'm sure you're thinking, you just want to watch this, don't you? And I told you in the beginning of this, it's kind of what I do. I watch great TV. I watch bad TV. So this way, I know what good TV is. I just like television, to be honest. But don't watch this. I'm not sure if I'm going to get through a whole season, to be honest. I had to watch the first episode in 3 parts because it was just so ridiculous. I had to stop watching. I never do that. I usually watch something the whole way through. I had to stop 3 times. Hey, enjoy at your own peril, man. I'm just trying to tell you. All right, so we out of here. Go Bengals. You can catch me at La Rosa's ordering my normal on Sunday because at this point we're all in on a superstition. We have to order La Rosa's on game day during the playoffs or the Bengals won't win. We're there. So catch me at La Rosa's, pulling out of the drive-thru with the good pizza, with the good wings. Life is good, y'all. Hootay. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. Make sure y'all tune in next week. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy fan talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.